Hello and welcome to another episode of Radio Free Nintendo. This is still day zero, although, now it's almost midnight. And I'm sitting here.
Sorry. I'm like, wait a minute. It's 3 a.m. because I'm still on East Coast time a little bit.
Yeah. So I'm your host, Jonathan Metz, and that voice you just heard is Neil Ronahan.
Hello, hello.
Neil, of course, is the director of our website and the host. Well, you guys all share hosting duties, but on the
part of newscast.
Part of the newscast, right.
So we've got full representation here.
For reals.
Michael TYP Cole from Radio Trivia is
also
here.
Hey, oh yeah.
Yep, we're sitting at Mike's kitchen table. And Jared Rosenberg.
Hello, hello.
Video producer extraordinaire.
He is.
Any awesome video content we've had lately has either been the guys in Japan or Jared.
And actually, this would be a good time to mention the Planet GameCube E3 2001 VHS tape was, the first half of it, the first tape, we watched last night, and Jared digitally transferred it, and it's now up on YouTube in 5 or 6 pieces.
Yeah, it's got a lot of good stuff on there. Like, there's a really, really young Bill Trinan. There's Iwata wearing a suit that I think the belt is up above his belly button. And, of course, he says, you know, at Nintendo,
we believe.
Oh, yeah.
But there's a lot of good stuff. There's a lengthy interview with Dennis Dyack about Eternal Darkness, where he trash talks Xbox and PlayStation for most of the time.
We should have part of that up tonight.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. There's a lot of really fun stuff on there. So, and actually, the pretty much the entire press conference from that year is up there, the Nintendo press conference with Peter Main. He doesn't even have a teleprompter. He's reading from pages that he's holding.
Yeah, it is really telling. We talked about this when we were watching it, how the show starts off with just Peter Main up there being like, all right, guys, I think we're going to start in a few minutes.
Yeah.
Whereas now it's like you're going to see a show at the theater.
Now they've got the music on.
Yeah, there's stuff to occupy you during.
And then you hear the booming voice, the presentation will begin in 5 minutes. Please silence your phones.
I think the closest thing we've kind of had to something like that, at least recently, was kind of the Jared and I were at the New York 3DS event where they did have, like, Reggie was on stage before, being like, all right, we're going to start in a few.
Well, I mean, that's how the round table stuff goes.
Yeah.
This was much more similar to the round tables that they do. That's 10 years ago. It's the year that the GameCube was debuted. So there are a lot of parallels. I mean, this is the same year that my E3 audio diaries were from that I posted a few weeks ago.
Johnny was wearing a tie in the video.
I was.
He was baby face mess.
Yeah, I was a little kid then. I was 19. But that was 10 E3s ago. There was a lot that happened back then, and it's, you know, if you've got some time to kill, And you're just E3 starved, definitely check those out. So there's an article over at NWR where all the YouTube videos are embedded, so to make it really easy for you to find them. But I really recommend checking those out. Some of them are really funny, and some of them are just historically interesting. So the reason that we're sitting down right now, we're now about 5 hours away from waking up again to go to the E3, to the Nintendo press conference for this year, where we're going to see Project Cafe and Skyward Sword and new games for 3DS, Super Mario, etc. So we've all done so many predictions. Well, we haven't heard Jared's predictions, but you probably wrote something for the site, right?
Yeah.
About that. So we had the article. So we've all done our predictions one way or another. And there's just no point right now.
Yeah, but what else can we really say at this point? Like, Cafe, 3DS game, Skyward Sword, surprises.
There's a lot of surprises, because, I mean, we think about it, there's only one or two games that we know for sure will be there.
Yeah. There's a lot of ones that, like, you know, like, will probably show up, but we don't know for certain.
Right, and we don't necessarily know anything about them except that there is a game, like, called Pikmin.
And there is an Animal Crossing game coming to 3DS.
Right, yeah, of course there is. But we really don't know anything about them. And that's a big difference with, like, you know, today when you had the Microsoft press conference right in the beginning and then Sony at the end. And I don't think there were really any major surprises at either one.
Yeah, I mean, there were a few, but just not to the degree of
mostly
Nintendo. Because Nintendo right now is, like, what the hell are they going to do? We'll find out.
Right. And it usually feels like this, I have to say. Every year it feels like we go into the Microsoft and Sony wins, and they usually have like one significant surprise announcement, but most of that stuff's been leaked. And Nintendo, even this year, I mean, it seems like a lot of stuff's been leaked, but none of that's really confirmed. And a lot of it conflicts with itself in terms of cafe stuff. So
they've done a very basic, like, it's going to have a touchscreen controller, and it's going to be playable at E3. That's basically all they've confirmed.
It's comparable to the other hardware reveals, where you kind of know the basic feature, but you don't know what it looks like,
what it's called, what the controller has on it. We don't know any games that they're going to show for it. Could be anything. The game that they show on this, it might be one game, it might be five, it might be 20, and we have no idea what any of them are. So compared to the other major platform holders, Nintendo is much more of an unknown. I think they have a lot to live up to. I'm excited. I mean, it's going to be hard to sleep tonight, as tired as I am.
Yeah.
We also went to EA press conference. Really nothing to report there on Nintendo. I expect EA will show up tomorrow morning at Nintendo's press conference, but they certainly weren't talking about Nintendo today. Same with Ubisoft, which we actually didn't get into. We had our confirmations for most of us.
Half of the people there, we had six people there, three people had confirmations that they had printed out, but we were turned away at the door along with several hundred other people.
Yeah. They apparently, as far as I can tell, they must have been letting in a lot of people who didn't have confirmations early, and they just ran out of seating. But, you know, I got up there and I'm like, I'm holding this confirmation. What exactly was I confirmed for if you're not going to let me into this thing? Anyway, so we went to the LA Convention Center, got our registrations, and sat in the media center reading Twitter of all of these people who did get into it, sort of scathing it. So it sounds like it was a fairly horrible presentation.
I wish we knew it was going to be that bad before, so we weren't going to waste our time going. But
yeah, I mean, we stood in line for 30 minutes with nothing to show.
We got some street passes. That's what we have to show for it.
Well, that's true. We did get a lot of street passes. So that's the main reason that we're doing this podcast tonight, is because we're recording this about an hour after the eShop update went up for 3DS, and all four of us sitting here have 3DSs, and James is asleep up in the recliner, and he has one too, of course. So we've just been going crazy on eShop. I've already spent about $30.
my DSiWare games are currently transferring over to my 3DS. It's a really obtuse process, but it's a little rewarding because as it transfers over, there's Pikmin taking your data and bringing it over from your DSi to your 3DS, which is a cute little touch.
But a lot of, you know, that's part of the fun of these updates, is Nintendo does build these shops with a lot of personality. They've got music, they've got characters animating, they've got
error codes. Oh, I'm sorry.
They have a lot of error
codes. Yeah, it was pretty painful when it first went out. There are a lot of error codes. I think they're sort of getting real hard.
It's also even worse because they did say the evening of June 6th. I think when it went live, it was around a little after 9:30 Pacific time, which means that on the East Coast, it didn't go up on the evening of June 6th. It went up after midnight in June 7th. So I don't know exactly what happened at that when the Switch was turned on, but Switch got turned on a little later than we all expected.
Yeah.
So we were antsy to get into it, and I guess a lot of other people were too, because it got hit hard. But
well, and they're offering two free software downloads: Pokédex 3D and Excitebike. And so that's two things that every single person who connects to this are going to try to download immediately. So that's guaranteed that's a lot of traffic. And then the entire 300 title DSiWare library now available. That's mainly what I was downloading. So I think we're going to go around, and I want to get everybody's thoughts on what they've seen so far, because we all messed around with different aspects of it. And we haven't had time to try every single thing, but I think collectively we've tried most of what was involved.
I think we've all gone out of our way to make sure someone covered everything. That's what we do here.
Yep. But for me personally, because I didn't have DSi, there were a number of DSiWare games. It's good to have Neil here because I can check with Neil. Neil's the expert on DSiWare, so I can say.
You can read the top 10 on GamePro. Yeah. That was written by me, the top 10 DSiWare games, even though my name is not attached.
Well,
but
we also have a pretty good DSiWare.
Yeah, from a year anniversary. There wasn't too much released since then. So yeah. Shantae was the big one, I guess. that other Q Games one. I want to say X-Space.
X-Space?
Anyway. Yeah, which is kind of cool.
So I downloaded 3 or 4 DSiWare games. I got Super Mario Land as well. And I'll let you guys talk about that and how the emulation works on that. It's pretty interesting. But I think for me, the one thing I want to bring out right off the bat is that the store interface is just really good. It's fast. It's easy to navigate.
It's a hell of a lot better than DSi iShop, which I had to go into to get the DSi to 3DS transfer thing, and just reminded me of how awful it is if you don't know what you want. Whereas on the 3DS, they have a lot of things where, you know, you can look for games with Mario in it, look for two-player games, or look for oddly specific games that start with W.
Well, that.
Well, I'm sure that was an example. I'm sure if you tap it, it was A, B, C, D, or E.
And also that may just rotate on the menu. So next week it'll be games that start with D.
Yeah, that's true.
It'll be X-Space, and that's it.
And then also, like, the staff pick of the week, which is Cave Story. That's really good exposure for those guys. We just talked to Tyrone Rodriguez earlier tonight, and I bet he's thrilled about that. So, I mean, the store has a lot of suggestions, which is nice because they've never really been very good with that before. But also, if you know exactly what you want, you can find that really quickly, too. There's a search bar at the bottom of the screen that's very quick to use.
It's a hell of a lot better than this.
The whole thing flows very quickly. It doesn't have a lot of built-in load times or connection times or anything like that. And then once you start the process of purchasing something, if you've already got the funds in your wallet, you can purchase something in about 20 seconds, I would say, maybe less. And then the download itself is really fast, too. Let me put it this way. In 45 minutes, I think I'd purchased 5 or 6 things on the store. There's no way you could do that on Wii. I mean, I burned through $30 in about 45 minutes. You cannot do that on the Wii. Mm-hmm. It's just the whole process. Every time you go through it, it's just laborious. Yeah. And then the actual downloads are really slow, too. So this whole thing has been streamlined in the best way possible. It's just fast. If you want to download something, you can get in there and get it and get out and be playing your game a lot faster.
I definitely feel a little bit that it is way better than what Nintendo's previously done, but it's still kind of crappy in the grand scheme of things. I think the interface, I mean, I know TYP, you made the point of mentioning about how when you go to download something, I think what you can hit the A button to look at more screens, but you have to tap the screen to download it. And just has those little like side niggling things that still make it.
You can't download in the background, although granted they're kind of short downloads anyway for now at least.
Yeah. That's not a huge deal right now when it takes less than 30 seconds to download a game.
I mean, Excitebike took a little while for me. That probably took me a minute or two. Yeah.
Not for me.
It was quick for me.
All of mine were quick. So Jared, what have you downloaded so far? What have you done with the new update?
I downloaded one DSiWare game, Flight Plan, which
Or is it Flight Control?
Flight Control.
Yeah, the Fireman games?
Yeah, right. Fireman. It was really popular on iPhone and iPads.
It's just basically like I know on iPhone, I have the game on DSiWare as well. It's where you basically use a stylus or your finger to guide planes around and have them all land. It's you have to manage all the planes going on different runways. It's pretty addicting.
I just from playing it for 5 minutes, I was already wondering if maybe I should pick something else.
Neil likes it.
Hopefully it'll.
Yeah. It was really popular on iPhone for a reason, but it isn't a super deep game. It just it's a high score game.
Right. The other game I downloaded was the Excitebike 3D Classics.
You discovered an interesting feature of this game.
One of the things is with the 3D slider, as you're playing, it will actually automatically like adjust the 3D and it like will zoom in and zoom out. So you can see like when you zoom out, you'll see the sky in the background and like other details.
Yeah, it's kind of like I guess when you're zoomed in. Like, it's the traditional kind of closer-up view, and as you pull out for 3D, it shows, like, the stadium opens up, and you kind of, like, go out of the stadium a little bit to see the depth better. It's hard to describe. It's kind of something, I guess, you have to see to believe.
Well, it just adjusts the viewing angle.
Yeah.
It's basically moving the camera.
Yeah.
Where, of course, Excitebike originally doesn't have a camera. It's a fixed-point type thing. Yeah. But that was the weird thing, because it's controlled by the 3D slider. So, I mean, in a 3DS game, the 3D slider you know, it only changes the parallax barrier angle.
Yeah.
So, but
it opens up the potential for the 3DS slider. Yeah. In all honesty, yes. Makes it a little cooler.
It's just very strange that they connected this feature to the slider itself, because now it's adjusting the parallax angle, but also this camera angle within the software. It's kind of freaky when you see it.
Yeah. No, I mean, I stumbled upon it when I was turning on the 3D. I was playing Jared's copy of Excite Bike, and I just put on the 3D and was like, what the hell? I didn't expect that at all.
Anything else that you noticed or that you tried out?
I quickly looked at the track editor, and I was really hoping there would be a way. I would have sworn I had read you could trade the tracks you make with other people, but it doesn't seem like you can.
That would be really cool. I know you can save, what, up to 32?
Yeah, I believe it's 32.
Oh, that's a good
idea. As opposed to the original, which you couldn't save any of.
Well, there's a save button, but it doesn't work.
Yeah, because what the Famicom disk system was what it was for. Yeah, or at least that save feature was.
Something.
Game has a credits sequence too. For who was it? The we saw.
Oh yeah, Arika developed that. They did Dr. Mario and DSiWare, and I think a couple other like short or like small Nintendo DSiWare games. They also did Bust a Move Universe for 3DS, so they have 3DS experience, and Endless Ocean. And it's former Capcom people.
Yeah, and they did Dr. Mario for WiiWare.
Yeah.
So, Mike, I know you got Super Mario Land.
I did.
What do you think of this? I mean, you're very familiar with that game, of course.
Yeah, I owned it way back when, and I had the giant brick green puce slip key, whatever you want to call it, Game Boy. And you know, it's just, I remembered, it's a lot of fun. I know, as I've talked about before on the podcast, I'm not a fan of the stretching of the picture, so I tried holding down the start button when I opened it, and just like with a traditional DS game, it has it in the standard native resolution, but they actually have a border around it for like a puce.
Yeah, it's like
Game Boy.
It's like the outside of the Game Boy around the screen.
And then if you do the 3D slider, it very subtly creates a 3D effect so that it's just like the original Game Boy, where the screen is inset a little bit. And so it's a really neat, subtle little effect, but it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Now, just to be clear, it's not adding 3D layers to the game itself.
No, it's just the outside. It's
the border.
Right. It's creating 3D depth between the game display and the simulated Game Boy Fat border around it.
Yeah.
It's a very surprising little touch that, yeah. I mean,
it's pretty cool.
It's very cool, actually. And it makes you wonder what they're going to do once they start adding other systems to the Virtual Console, because obviously you don't want, you know, like the Sonic Game Gear games in a Game Boy frame.
All of a sudden, you'll have to put in 6 batteries into the system to get the game to work.
You're gonna have to create several of these to fit the different systems that they're gonna be emulating. So that's kind of gonna be really cool to see all those.
It seems like I remember reading something as far as like Super Game Boy features too. Is recently just said it's up to the people bringing the game to Virtual Console on it. So that interface with the Game Boy might also, it might not be in a Game Gear game, depending on whoever's bringing that over. I assume Sega wants to put in the extra effort to develop that overlay.
Now, TYP, you also discovered an interesting thing about the suspend/restore feature.
Right, so the game, at least for the Game Boy, there is one slot where you can have a save state, which is very much like a PC emulator save state. There's one of them, and if you save a new one, it says, well, it'll write your old one. So it's one slot, so you can't do weird branching path type stuff. But it also has a suspend feature, just like Virtual Console on Wii. So if you push the home button and you escape, then you close that software to open up something else, it'll say, okay, saving and closing. So when you open up the Super Mario Land again, it actually is right where you left off. So you can have, it's essentially two. There's a suspend save state, and then there's a long-term save state that you can reload as many times as you want.
Point.
A restore
what
point.
They call it. Yeah. And which is nice, because the restore point, they actually capture a miniature screenshot so that you can identify where that restore point is. So before you decide, do I want to go back and load this, you kind of can see where you were when you made that. Or and also where, you know, before you override it, you can see that.
And I have to wonder if maybe how many save or restore points they provide maybe depending on the game. I could see them, for some games, some publishers wanting to give you more.
Sure.
Who knows?
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
Now, Neil, you're still in the process of your DSiWare transfer.
If you'll let me turn around for one second.
Oh, what the hell? That's how it's been going. It sounds like it's been a fairly frustrating experience.
It's transferring? Okay. Yeah, I transferred over my pictures from my DSi, and then it told me to plug my 3DS into a power outlet, and thus has not actually been going on while we've been recording this, which kind of pisses me off a little bit. But as I said before, it has the cool little Pikmin carrying your data over on the 3DS top screen, complete with little Pikmin noises and Pikmin music, too. So I guess Nintendo still cares about Pikmin. Maybe there is a new game on the horizon. But I definitely found the DSiWare to 3DS transferring thing kind of a, I guess, to be super blunt, a clusterfuck. Because there was no information that I could find as to what exactly I was supposed to do. There's the system transfer thing on 3DS, and then it just says, like, go on to your DSi and click the transfer stuff over button. And I couldn't find that. I updated my system. No notice for it. And I found out online that you have to go into the DSi shop. There's a free app that you can download that transfers stuff over.
Nice.
And then you have to set up that. Basically, both systems need to be online, too, because it needs to validate that these are indeed your games being transferred over. I think right now they're both locally connected to each other, because I guess the online was verified, but depending on how many games you have, it could be a really lengthy process. Right now, I'm at 2 of 46, so this sucks.
You own 46 DSiWare?
I guess technically 44, because it's transferring over the sound and the camera. But, yeah, that finally gives a total for anyone keeping score. Scary. I thought it was still in the 30s. I didn't realize I expanded to 40. Although that includes some free stuff.
Sure.
But
still, that's impressive.
Yeah.
You are an authority. Now, we also, Neil, did you get a chance to look at the browser?
I did.
Oh, yeah. I think both TYP and I looked at it. The site indeed, NWR.com or NintendoWorldReport.com works on the website or on the browser. It's late.
I'm not impressed with the browser so far. It looks really grainy.
It's way better than the DSi browser, which was unusable. Yeah. No, that was free. It was the original DS browser. Right. Because there was one included with the DSi that was unusable, whereas this one's actually functional. So it's a step up.
All I know is they did a Google search, and like for the first 10 seconds it was displaying it, it was so blurry I couldn't read any of the Google search results. And this is a Google search result. It's a list of links.
A list, yeah.
So now maybe some of that was my local wireless was being hammered by other DSs or 3DSs, but it didn't look super impressive.
Now, one feature that's still not available, I don't believe, but it's listed at least now, is that when you go to the system transfer feature, you have the option to either transfer from a DSi or transfer from another 3DS.
This is true.
And again, I don't think that's supported yet, but in the future it will be, and that, I think, gives a lot of hope for whenever the 3DS Lite is released.
You'll be able to easily transfer your stuff over.
Which is going to be really nice. So it seems like Nintendo's learning a lot about, you know, when we buy these digital goods, we would like to bring them with us to the new best hardware. Yeah. And so far, they're pretty much leading the pack on that, I think. You know, the other console and handheld manufacturers haven't shown a lot of that.
Same with Cafe.
I guess we'll see once we learn more about the PlayStation Vita that was officially confirmed. That's the NGP.
I believe all your PSP games will be able to be transferred, or at least the digitally purchased PSP games will be able to be transferred over to the Vita.
Yeah, but we don't know how that's going to happen.
Yeah.
The Sony's generally pretty good about letting you do things like that, but we'll see. So, any other comments about the eShop or the system?
I know we haven't really talked about the Pokédex 3D application, which I think the only use for that is going to be more stuff to StreetPass.
I've been learning today that StreetPass is really fun if you're actually in the environment where you can pick some up.
Like E3.
It's very addictive to keep checking it and meeting all these people and learning they want to become a wizard or...
but their favorite thing to do is other.
Right. I mean, even like from the events that we've been going to today, you know, running into people that are like, oh, you got a 3DS? Oh, sweet. How are we StreetPass?
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun, and I hope that at the Nintendo press conference, we'll maybe pass by an Iwata or Reggie.
It's going to be completely insane tomorrow morning.
Shit's going to be blown up.
You mean this morning, Johnny?
This morning. In a few hours.
Yeah, and I've still got to edit a podcast before I go to bed.
I still have to write up about the eShop a little bit more.
I spent very little time in the Pokedex 3D, but from what I could tell, it looks like each person sort of gets a random starter Pokemon in the Pokedex.
I think 16, actually.
Oh, okay. I only saw the one, but anyway, it seems like you get some kind of random selection of them, and then you're highly encouraged to either gift them to other people who are locally around you using it at the same time, or else turn on Street Pass and, you know, do it that way and make your connections. But again, I'm kind of cool with having more stuff that uses Street Pass. And I think actually one of the things I really want to see tomorrow at the press conference is that they're going to have real games that actually make very clever use of it, because I'm beginning to feel like this is really a very interesting feature that it really just kind of works. Like, once you have everything set up, you really don't have to think about it too much.
Yeah. And I mean,
it's exciting. It's a way to interact with people, and you know, the feature works best when you encourage people to actually use it by giving them interesting results from it. So I think it's really in Nintendo's interest to keep doing that, to keep providing and encouraging that kind of interaction in the software.
Like, it is kind of cool. I mean, now just going around, because in the environment that we're in, not only are you street passing people, if you have a bunch of games, you're getting stuff for Ridge Racer, you're getting stuff for Street Fighter, and it's cool because that's also stuff that you don't have to check right that minute, and it's kind of like, oh, I'll have to put in Street Fighter 4 sometime soon. So it almost behooves game makers to put in something with Street Pass, because once you have Street Pass, if you pass by someone with the game, it's going to remind you about that game, and you're going to want to put it back in.
And again, game makers like that because it discourages trading.
Yeah.
Trading in.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, I think that's going to wrap it up, unless anyone has a final word.
I just, you know, Nintendo has to show a lot of good stuff for 3DS. I mean, I know we'll talk about it tomorrow once they've shown it, but
it definitely feels like a more complete system now. You know, there's just all this stuff that previously was grayed out, or you knew it was supposed to do, but it couldn't, and now it does it. Now I feel like this is, you know,
this is what the system should have been when it launched.
Yeah, and also this is easily, I mean, you know, even with the little time we spent with it, I think this is by far the best online interface that they've had. This shop is just...
That's not saying too much.
No, but this shop is really good. It's light years beyond the Wii Shop.
Very, very true. Sure.
I'm pretty impressed with it. Even though I did have to put in my credit card information twice tonight, that's because I was spending money so fast because the shop is so easy to use. Yep. So it's kind of a good problem
and
to have.
And you can get just $5 too.
Yeah, that's not...
Like, wow.
Yeah.
And you only have to enter your zip code, not your city and state and county.
Yeah.
Well, you do if there are multiple that match that zip code. I had to choose from a list.
But it brought up the list.
It brought up the list.
I didn't have to type it.
That's right.
So the whole thing is just really pretty impressive. It's very nicely done.
Yeah.
So if you haven't updated your 3DS yet, go do that now. And again, check our website for the feature. Do you recall the title?
I think it was DSiWare 1 year anniversary or something about that. I know it was posted in April 2010, if that helps anyone for looking on the site. It goes over, I think it's 35 DSiWare games that me, Matt Blunden, Zach Miller, and a couple other people on staff wrote about.
Yeah, I'm sure you can get a lot of good ideas from there.
Yeah.
And do check out the videos. If you do a search for games, they usually pop the video as well.
Yeah.
It gives you a really good idea of the games, actually.
I think all the DSiWare games have videos, but I guess one final note, because that's jogging my memory, they do have stuff with screenshots for upcoming games on 3DS, like, you know, Zelda, Resident Evil the Mercenaries, Pac-Man, Galaga Dimensions. However, they have these screenshots that fill up your 3DS, but they don't display in 3D. I don't get it.
It seems like an oversight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still not a whole lot in terms of 3DS videos, but maybe after the press conference that will change.
Yeah.
I think they'd be crazy to not put up 3DS game trailers on 3DS now that they can. So We shall see. But anyway, that's going to wrap up this first roundtable style discussion, and we'll be back tomorrow with a lot more commentary on...
We'll be even more tired.
Yeah, but we'll have played Project Cafe most likely. So we're going to be completely different people next time you hear from us.
I did not actually think about that.
Our lives
right
and
now.
The world are about to change.
See you on the other side, guys.
Yeah.